You're listening to Give Me the Bible with Len. Today's program is entitled Good Advice. Hello, my radio friends. Welcome to the program today. If you have parents like mine as you were growing up, it is fairly certain they imparted good advice to you. Three of these treasures of wisdom handed down to me, I remember well, and these were influential in shaping who I am. My father once said, "It's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil," meaning that those who complain or speak up about some difficult issue, they are the ones who get attention. The second piece of advice was, "It's a poor chook that can't scratch for itself." This means that it's a sad state of affairs when anyone is unable or unwilling to work to provide for their own livelihood. And thirdly was advice about money. My parents were not people to go into debt, so the advice was, don't buy what you cannot pay for. Now, you may expect that I lived by that advice, but sadly for me, during my teen years, I thought I knew it better and did it my way. I would have done better to have acted on the good advice then, but now I can see the wisdom behind the advice. A similar situation arose in the kingdom of Israel after the death of its third king, Solomon. During Solomon's reign, there was peace and prosperity throughout the land. But when Solomon died, his son Rehoboam succeeded him. Rehoboam summoned counselors to advise him how best to reign. Perhaps he was aware of one of the wisdom sayings of his father that's recorded in Proverbs 15:22. It says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." And I'll read what happened with Rehoboam, and it's from 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 6 to 11. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this — he was still in Egypt where he'd fled from King Solomon — he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labour and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favourable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What's your advice? How would you answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" Solomon had exacted taxes on the people. Rehoboam following the advice of his young counsellors, determined to tax them much more severely than his father did. So, what effect did this harsh piece of news have on the people? Well, the answer is given in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 12 through to 17. It says, 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, come back to me in 3 days. The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given to him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, my father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, Israel. Look after your own house, David. At this point of time, because Rehoboam decided to treat his subjects harshly, the kingdom was split in two. Two of the tribes remained loyal to Rehoboam, while the 10 others chose a new king, Jeroboam. Now, Rehoboam is not unique in rejecting the advice of his elders. Human beings seem to be wired in such a way that they have to find out for themselves. You may be a parent who wants your child or children to avoid the pitfalls of life that you may have experienced, yet disappointedly found your well-intentioned advice rejected. Why? Well, I want to share 10 reasons why people reject advice. And this is from an article by Glenn Stock, posted on January 20, 2023. First, people's own opinions can stand in the way. And Glenn says, when a friend asks me for advice because they're not satisfied with something that's happening in their life, I like to explain to them that they are the architect of their own life. I tell them that they can find new ways to create the future they would want to have. Then I tell them to make a plan and consider it an obligation toward their future. Some people get it and work on it. However, others think they're doing everything right, and they continue to stay with their troubles and feel better merely complaining about their lives. Second point. People reject advice because they want advice that matches their values. Just because your advice is based on personal experience, proven to be valid for yourself, it doesn't make it worthwhile for another. Everyone follows their desired path in life based on a personal value system. They are strict about their feelings and usually will never deviate from their values. If advice does not agree with their values, they will reject it, no matter how good it is. Therefore, you can only successfully give advice if it's consistent with another's beliefs and values. Third point, why people reject advice. They may want evidence of benefits. One will hesitate to accept advice when they don't know if it's good or bad. Intelligent people might be the hardest to advise. They want evidence that it's beneficial, and you can't blame them for that. A well-rounded plan of advice needs to be complete, with clearly stated positive outcomes to be expected. If it's not enough, and if it's not thorough, with positive conclusions, you'll have difficulty convincing someone of its benefits. Fourth point, they might fear the results. When one has a fear of the unknown, they might avoid following advice, even if it's given by an experienced mentor. The only way to help someone stricken by fear is to show them that the outcome with some method of visualization. And that doesn't always work. But if it matters enough, one might get past their fear and work on the changes required to achieve a goal. Fifth point, people don't want to admit they're wrong. Admitting they are wrong destroys their ego. They need to protect their self-esteem. When someone needs to be right all the time and you show them that they're wrong, they get angry with you because they no longer have an excuse. They need to have some excuse to feel better about their actions. They will never admit that anything else is better than what they're doing. They would rather believe their failure is due to something beyond their control. They want satisfaction, the satisfaction of hearing someone agree that they're doing everything right and not the reason for their problems. Unfortunately, such people are hard to help. Point number six. Advice from an authority figure can be threatening. Some people have an issue with authority figures. They will reject your advice if that's how you're coming across. Try to determine if you're the problem. For example, are you trying to change the other person based on your own judgment or opinion? And that's not a good thing. However, if you genuinely know how to make things better and believe you have useful guidance to offer, then it's necessary to present it in a non-threatening way. It's best not to lecture. And when trying to help someone, guide them with helpful suggestions, but without sounding like you're telling them what to do. Now we come to point number seven. People in denial will usually ignore advice. And when in denial, people don't recognize the seriousness of their situation, so they might ignore any advice. No matter what we do to guide them, they'll avoid accepting the truth. They're fooling themselves and nothing can be done about it. These people will continue fooling themselves until they get over it and get past the roadblock they set up for themselves. When people are in denial, it's best to save your energy and leave them alone. Now we've got a few points to go yet, but we'll have a little break and go on straight afterwards.
Just as far as I can remember, she'll remain the rose of my heart. Mom took sick along in December. February brought us broken heart.
The reason we'd not call a family reunion, we knew that she wouldn't be there. But since we thought it all over, Mama, we know that your spirit is there.
No, no, I can't forget the hours. You're the onlyest one, Mom, and sweeter than the flowers. No, no, there's no need to bother. To speak of you now would only hurt Father. It looks so good
good to see us together, but I had to look after Dad. Oh, Mama, when I passed by your coffin, I didn't want to remember you dead. They all gathered round, I stared at the faces, all heads were bowed mighty low. But that was one time we all had to face it. It hurt us so bad, you know. No, no, I can't forget the hours. You're the onliest one, Mom, and sweeter than the flowers. No, no, there's no need to bother. To speak of you now would only hurt Father. Oh, no, Mama, we'll never forget you, and someday we'll meet you up there.
Well, now we come to point number 8, about why people do not accept advice. And it is this: some people just need to vent. Some people are upset about past failure. They dwell on it, complain about it, and look for others who will help them rationalize the terrible situation they're in, rather than to help them move forward. They can't look to the future. Therefore, they don't listen when one tries to help them improve or correct some aspect of their lives. You can see how frustrating it can be for someone who wants to help someone in need, but they would rather not hear solutions. So we need to leave them alone. Some people merely need to vent and have someone to listen to feel that their attitudes are validated. While they feel more comfortable venting, it's best just to listen. Hopefully, when they're ready, they will ask for help, if it's not too late. Now, number 9 is that some people can't commit to helping themselves. Some people are just not interested in doing what's necessary to achieve their goals. Giving advice in those cases goes unaccepted. And years later, these types of people are still in the same place they were at the start. We can't do anything to help those who have a lack of desire to get ahead. And if you know someone with that attitude who never appreciates the reasoning behind specific tasks, it's best to stay away and avoid trying to help them. They won't take action on the advice anyway. And worse, they'll blame you for anything that goes wrong. And the 10th point, why people don't accept advice. And that's this: they don't see the fundamental problem. You might want to guide someone in need of help. You might try to free their mind of anxiety standing in the way. But they are the ones who need to take action. "I can only show you the door" is a good motto to remember when giving advice. Your expectations may never be realized. Even when people seek professional help for advice, their minds may not be free to accept critical guidance. They may think they want help, but they end up rejecting it when unhealthy attitudes affect their judgment. So why did Rehoboam reject the advice of the older counselors but accept what the young advisers gave? It was probably because the younger counselors said what Rehoboam was already thinking. The young counselors simply confirmed what was already in his mind. So what was the result of Rehoboam's rejection of the voices of wisdom? Disaster. A split in the kingdom. A civil revolt. From many years of peace under the reign of Solomon, the 17-year reign of King Rehoboam was characterized by war. Thousands of lives were lost. And I share Rehoboam's story with you today because you may be reluctant to accept the advice of your elders, your parents, your grandparents, and others. I share this story with you too because you may know what is the best way to live and endeavor to impart wisdom to your younger children or people who you know. And I share this story with you because all of us, young, old, or middle-aged, need to accept the advice from God's book, the Bible. If we are prepared to obey the Lord, we will prosper in this life and for eternity. However, if we reject God's word, our final destination will be destruction. Of all the instruction in the Bible, the principal instruction is found in Matthew 6, verse 33. Yes, Matthew 6, 33. And these are the words of Jesus, and this is what he said. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Be like Rehoboam's grandfather, King David, about whom the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 14, verses 16 and 17, David obeyed God, and he defeated the Philistines. He even chased them all the way from Gibeon to the entrance of Gezer. From then on, David became more famous, and the Lord made all the nations afraid of him. So, my friends, if you accept the advice given in God's word, if you obey, your future will be bright. If you choose to disobey and go your own way, you bring punishment on yourself. Do the smart thing. Obey and live. That's my good advice to you today.